So I guess it's big news time, isn't it? Yeah, I've got a new shed.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm very proud of it. And yeah, I can't wait to show it off to everyone.
Is it in good health?
It is. It's a good size. You got any news that can beat that?
Yeah, we had a baby. He's doing really well. It was a rough ride initially. We're kind of in the rhythm of it all now, so it's going pretty good. Lots of early mornings. I've been up this morning since 5, so it's been a bit of a culture shock for me. Yeah, I saw on your Patreon post about your new shed. Kind of came out of the blue, because I know that you were talking about it earlier. You kind of implied that it wouldn't be perhaps for another year or so. So what made you get your teeth into that one so early?
I was very torn about it, as in, I only just did the workshop build and I don't want to do another series on building a square box in my garden. Mm. But my living room, dining room and kitchen are full of building materials. Yeah. And it's driving me crazy. And I just want a shed to put them in.
So it's just purely storage initially, is it?
It's, well, I got contacted by this company. I'm going to say their name wrong. Can't remember their name. It's something like the Insulated Panel Store. It might be that. And they're basically an offshoot of Kingspan.
Oh, wow.
And all they do is the kind of SIP panels, and they do garden rooms that you can put up in half a day, but are fully insulated. And they contact me like, oh, you got any projects coming up? I'm like, I've just finished my workshop. I'd have loved some of this stuff,
man,
for the
that
workshop.
Would have been ideal. So is that kind of like a metal, one of those ridged sheets with insulation adhered to the bottom?
And then there's a second metal sheet on the inside, so you don't even have to do that bit. Wow. And they lock together. I think Leo of Handicraft, he did his workshop with that roof.
Yeah, I've seen Tim use them, a restoration couple as well, years ago.
Yes, yeah, I've watched both of those, and Skill Builder actually have a very good video building the garden room.
Yeah.
Kit. So if I can get this super fancy roof for free, then that kind of motivates me to do the shed, because it's much better than I would have done it. I would have tried to do the absolute cheapest option I could find that wasn't felt.
Yeah, and you'll save a fortune on materials as well, because even the plywood to clad a roof or OSB or whatever you were going to use would cost a fortune now.
But it means I've over-engineered the shed in other ways, as in I've done it at 3x2s, I've wrapped it with a breathable membrane, and then I'm going to batten it and clad it so that I can pack the studs with insulation in the future.
Nice.
And it can be a room, so it's got a window and a door. So at the moment it's going to be a shed, but I'm thinking in the future, because I've got too many materials, that's the trouble. I need to, you know what it's like after you've built something like a garden room or workshop, you've got loads of scraps left over, which you will use up eventually, but it'll take a year. And then I'm thinking, I've always wanted a lathe, and it's just having a room to put it. So I might turn it into a turning room.
Nice. Did you say the size?
No. So originally it was going to be 2.4 metres by 2.4 metres. And then I kind of made the base and looked at it like, oh, it seems tiny.
Yeah.
And I added 60 centimetres onto one, so it's 3 metres by 2.4. And it's a small little room, but if I wasn't doing YouTube, I could probably survive in it as a workshop.
Yeah.
I actually made the door for it first because I wanted to get the shed up in a week, and then I haven't at all. But it's, I think I say in the video, it's so much easier if you do the fiddly bits first. Like, I made the door and hung it in the frame so that I can frame the walls around that.
Yeah.
And then when I come to fit the door, it's literally like 8 screws or something and it's done. But yeah, no, it's the weather's... What's happened to summer?
I know. July has been the most disappointing month, hasn't it, in terms of weather?
It's been awful. I've just, before we recorded this podcast, we do this in the morning, and I need to get... One of my jobs today is just get a coat of paint on 2 bits of kind of trim before I put the cladding on. And I've gone out, and I've got the paint in my hand, and it's starting to spit with rain.
Yeah.
But everyone in the Woodworking UK group will be very pleased. I've got a massive overhang on the roof. So I'm going to get away with painting it because it shouldn't get wet.
Is it enough to have kind of like a under shelter bit for doing work?
No, but, oh, I've got plans for upgrades in the future. I'm thinking of roof slopes one way, and I'm thinking of building a pagoda that joins on and slopes the other way.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe not having it covered, just but having an outside seating area. I mean, I say an outside seating area, it would totally be where I cut sheet goods or paint things.
Yeah.
But in the future, in my dream life, where I actually sit and sip gin and tonics in my garden, it'd be an outside seating area, but until then. But yeah, now the overhang, I think, is about 30 centimetres. So it's just enough to kind of, when you're opening the door, to stand under and not get soaking wet.
Yeah.
And I mainly did that just because of the size the sheets come in. So they will cut them in the factory to length for you.
Okay.
But they're 1 metre wide. So two sheets and have a 2 metre wide thing where you want a bit of overhang. Or you go for three sheets and have 3 metres. Well, I'm not going to rip these sheets down. The whole point was how simple they are.
Yeah.
But so I've done a 30 centimetre overhang. And actually, with the cladding and stuff, it's more like a 25.
They sound like a real time saver and probably not much more expensive than buying the raw materials would be either.
It's terrible. I didn't look at the prices.
Mm.
They are a real time saver. I think I did it in, I remember I did say in the video, like half a day, and that's with filming. And you know, especially when you're doing a roof and you're taking a camera up and down a ladder, that's adding a lot of time on. And it's my first time doing it. The one thing is, these are, my sheets are 3 metres long and 1 metre wide and about 10 centimetres thick.
Yeah.
They're not hugely heavy, but then I try to get them on the roof and like, oh.
Unwieldy.
I watch Skill Builder and they're like, three people we'd recommend for doing. You're trained professionals and you're saying you need three people. One guy's got a broom upside down lifting it off because you could put like this rubber seal in silicone, so you can't just drag it across the roof because then you'll dislodge all the bits you've put in. So at one point I was like, oh, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do this. But actually,
you managed it.
Yeah, there's so many things I imagine you do as well that you're thinking, this is dodgy, I shouldn't be doing this.
Yes, especially, I mean, the last couple of days I've been doing some paving. I'm doing a video about doing some paving slab laying on the cheap kind of thing. But I'm using these 600 by 900 mil by 50 mil thick concrete slabs.
Ooh, they're heavy.
Yeah, they weigh an absolute ton. And of course, when you lay them, you want to lay them flat on the mortar bed, because if you lay one side down and then ease the other side down, all of the mortar squishes to one side. So I've had a realization of, I need help with this. There's no way I'm going to be able to do this. I did find a bit of a hack of laying one on my own, which I'm going to show in the video, but I ended up getting my brother over to help me with that one. Again, rain has been an issue with that project as well, because it's one of those things I thought I could knock out relatively quickly. But in between that, I've been completely tearing apart my workshop.
Oh, really? Is this going to be a video?
Yeah, I think it's going to be multiple videos. I think I've got definitely four that I think will make for good individual videos, because the first one's going to all be about dust extraction. So I think last time we spoke, actually, we were talking about dust containment and Frank Howarth's dust cabinet.
Yes, because I was saying like a wardrobe I always fancied type thing to put everything in.
That's right, yeah. And I had another think about whether it was going to be possible for me to build an extension to the workshop to house all of that stuff outside. Mm. But it's not really viable. I just don't have the space for it. So I've done a dust containment unit with all sorts of functions and accessories coming out of it, which I'm really pleased with, but it's just been a long, hard slog, because obviously baby is one thing that's taking up a lot of time, but also when you have a new baby, you've constantly got family members coming around to visit and things like that, and it's like, when am I actually going to get any work done? I mean, I had 2 maybe 3 weeks off where I did virtually no work at all, and then I started doing maybe 3 hours a day, and now I'm back full time on it. I say full time, I mean, tend to start work about 10 o'clock and then finish about 4 or 5-ish. So still much shorter days than I was doing, but I'm managing to get some stuff done now. When I went down to doing like a video every 2 weeks or maybe even 3 weeks on occasion, my YouTube stats have absolutely tanked. I mean, my revenue is about it's less than half of what it was when I was posting weekly videos. Views are down, everything's down, so I'm just going to have to go back to the grind of putting a video out every week. It's just going to be the only way, really.
Yeah, I noticed exactly the same. Miss 1 week, and then, because I was being messed around by a sponsored video with the date, and I had some other things that, like the shed, I'm going to have 3 videos, but obviously they have to go up in order.
Yeah.
So I can't put up, I've got videos shot, but I can't put them up. And then the next video I put up was a leatherworking video, and I almost decided a couple of years ago, I'm not going to do any more leatherworking videos because they always bomb. But it's like, oh, I'm going to make this thing anyway. I might as well. I'm interested in it.
Yeah.
So I missed a week and then put up a video I knew would be a flop. And yeah, it's just, oh yeah, killed the channel for...
Oh no.
It's just got back.
Yeah. I mean, I saw that lamp you did with the really nice joinery you did on that. I thought that was a really nice little project. I know you love making lamps.
I do, but I don't think I've ever really filmed one, because that's a design I did before a few years ago, and I made 3 different ones to sell. I'm like, I'm not going to make videos of it because I want to sell these for reasonable amounts of money.
Yeah.
And then I've never done it. Like, okay, I'm going to try again. And I think the brass inserts I've never done. And
yeah, really nice angles as well. It just looks sleek and kind of just has a good shape about it.
Mm, I have that on in my living room every evening.
Nice.
As a bit of background light. Because I had thought about having it in the workshop, but then it's too small to have something. I would just move it all the time, and then I would smash the bulb.
I would just cover it in paint and varnish, knowing me. I'm terrible.
So I know you try to get quite a few videos done before that you was taking some time off.
Yeah, I think I had 6.
Oh, 6. So 6 weeks, that's good.
I'm also starting to think about upgrading a machine. It's something that I kind of previously thought I would never do, but because I'm having a bit of a shift around of everything in the workshop, I've realised I am able to free up quite a lot of space. So I'm starting to think about a new planar thicknesser. So
it's weird. I was going to bring up exactly the same thing, and I imagine we're talking about the same model.
Oh, interesting. I still haven't decided which one to go for, but I've put out a few videos in the past, and they seem to do really well when I'm kind of making a spreadsheet and comparing.
You do love a spreadsheet.
I'm going to do a video like that for the planar thicknesser. And I've also been speaking to a couple of companies and have had some offers, but I'm really trying to not let that affect my judgment on which is the best one for me. It's interesting, the planar thicknesser market, because when you start comparing all of the different models, you really do get what you pay for. Because you can kind of order it in terms of, you know, does it have spiral head? How many spiral head cutters does it have? Obviously, the more, the cleaner the cut. And they really do go up from least expensive to most expensive. You can see how the pricing has been done. The range I'm kind of looking at is sort of between £1,000 and £2,000. I really don't want to go much more than that. And at the lower end, the only real option is the Lumberjack one.
Yeah.
Which looks decent as well. But again, I've heard rumours.
It's not a spiral cutter, is it though?
It's not a spiral cutter. But I'm actually not completely sure I want to go down that route yet.
Okay.
I guess the main concern I've got is around Ben at Hugh and Orr did a video about how difficult it is, and kind of saw him struggling and oiling the blades and trying to, you know, breaking bits, trying to get them out and stuff. And I thought, this looks like, and I think he said in the video it took him like longer than half a day to change a few of these blades, and I can change normal planer knives in, you know, 15 minutes. So yeah, I'm really not sure yet. I really need to have a long, hard think about it. Are you able to mention which one you're looking at, or is that going to be a surprise?
No, when I say I'm looking at it, I'm not looking at it seriously.
Okay.
It's more of a, that's the first one that's tempted me, and that's the Axminster, I forgot what they call it now. It used to be the Hobby. Is it Craft?
I think it's the one is it about 1600-ish?
I think it's cheaper than that. And that's what amazed me. I think it was like 15. Well, it might be 1599, I guess.
Yeah, it's 1600. Yeah, AW2260S. When I was looking at the stats, the only thing that I was a little bit concerned on with that particular one was the size of the motor, because it's got a less powerful motor than some of the others.
Okay.
So I don't know whether it might struggle under load.
Yeah.
I need to delve into it all a bit more, really.
But it's a UK 3-pin plug compared to 16-amp power supplies on some of the other ones.
That's exactly another concern that I have as well.
Because I've got, obviously, solar panels and battery packs, so 16-amp power supply won't work for me.
It's not going to be an option for you, I guess, no.
Not going to be an option. So for me, that's like, oh, I was thinking spiral machines were £2,000, and suddenly, okay, this is £400 less. I imagine it's slightly smaller. I'm looking at the pictures, it still looks really nicely made, and I love how both the tables lift out the way at the same time.
That is exactly the main reason for me wanting to upgrade, is the fiddliness of... Because I'm really happy with my Electra Beckham planer.
I love my little one.
Yeah.
My Metabo.
The two things that are making me want to upgrade, and like I say, spiral head cutter isn't actually one of them. The two things that are making me want to upgrade is that just being able to lift the tables up and get on with what you want to do without all of the fiddliness. And of course, with my planer thicknesser as well, I don't know why, but when I have to put the dust chute underneath for planing, for some reason, I don't know whether I haven't got the right part or whatever, but I have to clamp on the dust guard each time as well, which is just a bit of a pain. And I just want to get rid of all of that faff, and I really want to be able to walk up to the planer and use it rather than, at the moment, pull it out from the mitre station, pull the HVLP extractor over to it, set everything up, connect up the dust extraction. Because if I'm going from the table saw to the planer back to the table saw, I'm wheeling the extractor back and forth, and I just want to kind of get rid of all of that hassle.
Yeah, now it is a pain to switch modes. And not only do you have to remove the tables and flip them over, it's the dust port on these nicer ones look like they're just hinged. You never have to change them. You just flip it over.
Brilliant design. It's interesting you mentioned the 3-pin versus 16-amp supply thing, because when I was doing all of the statistical gathering, one of the machines doesn't mention whether it's a 3-pin plug or a 16-amp supply, and that's just infuriating to me. It's like one of the key pieces of information you need, and that was the Record Power PT107.
And I imagine that's at the higher end of the price bracket.
It's kind of mid-range, actually.
Oh, it's not a spiral one, then?
I don't think it is.
No, because they do one, and I'm sure it's closer to £3,000.
That's right, the PT30-something, I think.
But that's like a professional one.
310, yeah. On their website, there's no mention of the power supply for it. You can download a manual, but then you have to sign in, and I just thought, oh, pissed me off.
Oh, when I'm looking on their website now, I can only see one. Is it just a PT107?
Yeah.
So they only got one machine at the moment.
There's the PT107 and the PT310, I think.
When I'm on the website, it only comes up with one.
Does it?
Yeah.
Their website is terrible, though.
Oh, so's Charnwood.
Yes, yeah.
They're really so dated. Old-fashioned.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't get social media at all.
No, they just seem to be, I don't know. Once again, I know we're always kind of dissing this sort of stuff, but it's just everything with timber merchants and tool suppliers seems to be really archaic, and it's just like, you know, get with the times.
But I guess that's why newer brands like Lumberjack come along and have
take
better websites, sell on Amazon, understand social media, work with YouTubers,
and then there's Yandels, West Country Machinery, Kendall Tools. All of those companies, I've bought from all of them in the past and had good experiences, and it's just their websites just aren't that great.
They're all legacy companies, aren't they? They're, I don't know, maybe started in the 60s and family businesses and never change.
Yeah, it seems that way. That's exciting. So, I'm looking forward to being able to set it up. But of course, my workshop at the moment is just in complete disarray. There's just stuff everywhere. I'm really looking forward to having a couple of hours just to try and tidy it all up and organise.
I love those projects, though.
I love them when you get to the kind of final stages of completion. And I quite like the early stage of designing as well. I've got a model of my workshop in SketchUp. And I must have done 20 different iterations of layout, and I got to a point where I just thought, from start to finish, there's no real positives for any of these layouts that I've come up with. You know, there's things that I gain, but there's also things that I lose. And then eventually I just had a kind of...
Sorry.
You all right? Nice doorbell. I did all of these different layouts, kind of came to a conclusion that none of them were actually going to be, you know, worth the hassle of doing. And they all involved moving the table saw and also the dust extraction. But then I started thinking, well, that's going to be a pain in terms of power, because I installed that service column in the middle with all of my power on and new sockets around one particular wall. And I thought, you know, it's just going to be too much hassle. And then I ended up doing another design with keeping the table saw exactly where it is. And somehow it all kind of gelled into place. And I thought, actually, this is going to be worth doing. It is going to be hugely beneficial. So,
but also, I sometimes you just need those kind of projects. There's lots of problem solving and thinking, but not yes. that much kind of finessing and creativity. It's just a doing project.
Yeah. And there's a huge amount of satisfaction, I think, in reorganising and getting everything in its right place and just improving workflow and processes.
I'm going to do the same, but on a much smaller scale, because my workshop's probably a third of the size of yours after I've finished the shed. And I was kind of talking about in that Patreon video about the new workbench. It needs to be on wheels, my workbench. Just when you got a small shop, I was ripping some 4x2s down and... I've got to have the table saw kind of lined up with the door, so I start with it outside the door, but then my workbench is in the way, and this would be so much easier if I could just move the workbench in seconds to the other side and have the table saw there. I ordered some bits from Wix this week, and they keep putting the minimum order spend up every kind of time I look. I mean, it's not much, it's £80, which is not that hard to do, but I only needed a £40 worth, so I shoved a sheet of OSB on. I needed some sheet goods to make the workbench, and I've never made anything out of OSB.
Mm.
I've always used MDF, which I hate MDF because you can't just whack screw. Even if you drill pilot holes, I always seem to split the
end grain. Yeah.
Plies, really expensive and really rubbish at the moment.
Yes.
OSB is still a reasonable price, or has gone back down to a reasonable price. I really like the look of OSB. I'm going to try using it as a sheet good. I've only used it in construction before.
So is it going to be OSB as the actual top?
I wasn't going to be, but then I was... Yeah, actually, one side's really quite smooth.
Yeah.
And I don't know, if I did two layers of it under kind of some framework, it'd be pretty hard.
Yeah.
And then once you've chewed it up with using the track saw, it just...
Replaceable.
It's half a sheet of OSB. It's not much money, is it?
No.
In fact, if I did a sub-base of 18mm and then put a 9mm on top or something, that's even...
Yeah, better, like a sacrificial top.
Because I did a sacrificial top with hardboard, which is 3mm, I think. Or it might be 6mm. What's hardboard?
I think it's 3 or 4mm, yeah.
Yeah, but even with that, I miscalculated the depth of the track saw a couple of times and went, it's easy to go through.
Yeah.
As 9mm, you'd have to be really careless, which probably means I would. I've never screwed into the end of OSB.
Does it split as easily as MDF? I would say probably not.
Chipboard was always awful.
Yes. Chipboard might make a good workbench top as well, actually, thinking about it.
Yeah. Chipboard's not really a thing anymore.
Well, you can't really buy it in sheets. Or not that I've seen, anyway. You can only buy the floor panels with the tongue and groove boards. Edges. Yeah.
Which I imagine are not that expensive. I imagine you can still buy sheets. I think OSB is just... surpassed chipboard, hasn't it?
But I guess the beauty of the floorboards is you can get them in those small packs as well, and they all interlock together and perfectly flush.
I was first thinking of making two.
Mm.
So say 4 foot by 2 foot, kind of a solid wood, proper traditional workbench, and then making a second one exactly the same size, but, I don't know, MDF. So you can wheel them together and it makes one...
One big surface.
If you need a big surface, which you sometimes do. But then I'm like, there'd still be a pain. Maybe I just want one bigger one. The trouble with my workbench at the moment, I could put casters on and make it movable, but it's the storage is very fixed, like where the shelves are. There's not much I can do. And it seems a huge waste of space where I could if I made my own, I could make the underside really all my storage. And I've got things on the wall. I've got, in fact, when Bosch came, I made the drill storage rack, but it must stick out 40 centimetres off the wall.
Yeah.
It's on the wall, but it sticks out. I'm like, all those drills could just be under a workbench, and then I could get 40 centimetres closer to a wall, which makes more sense. So, yeah, I'm umming and ahhing, but these are all kind of, a lot of it is YouTuber problems. Like, if it was just a workshop, I wouldn't care about any of these things.
You're absolutely right, because one of the first sort of realisations I had was that there was a much better position for my table saw to be in, but that position didn't lend itself well to setting up a camera and filming it, so I had to reassess. One thing I found useful when I was going through all of this problematic designing of space and just not being able to come up with a layout that I really liked, I thought, right, let's step back from all this and just write a list of all the things that I want to achieve out of a redesign. So I've got this list here, dust containment, simplify dust extraction runs. I wanted a floor sweep, so that's part of what I'm doing as well.
Did you have one before?
No, I've always kind of wanted one though. And then I've got things on here like maximize infeed and outfeed space at the table saw, because at the moment I can cut just about 1.8 meters in length with the table saw positioned where it is, but no longer. And I want to be able to cut 2.4 meter lengths. And by rejigging things, I can just about do that. And there's loads of other stuff as well, but writing this list of things that I actually wanted to accomplish made it so much easier to actually come up with a design that I was happy with. Laying it all out like that was just like, right, I know what I need to do now, kind of thing.
See, I'm trying to almost go the other way and going, could I get away with less? So that's what's stopping me with the planar thicknesser. I've got the big twin motor dust extractor.
Yeah.
I hardly use it because the table saw has a small port and the quick connect thing. But actually, I think I was using the planar thicknesser with my little battery extractor the other day.
Yeah.
It worked fine.
So you use the Bosch extractor for the table saw and the planar thicknesser.
The band saw, I did put a reducer on and used it with that as well. But if I got a big planar thicknesser, I'd have to have...
You'd need it, yeah.
I'd need it. But it takes up loads of room in a small workshop. Again, it's a filming problem. Hello, Matt here. It takes us quite a lot of time to prepare and produce each episode of this podcast, and we'd like to keep putting it out for free. If you enjoy the podcast and you'd like to help, support and shape future episodes, you can find a link to our Patreon page in the show notes or just search online for Workshop Banter Patreon. Thank you, and now back to the podcast. It's good that you managed to get some work done, because I didn't know if you'd just be off for 2 months, but also I imagine you climbed the walls a bit.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I said to Ria a couple of times towards the end of that 2 weeks I had off, I just have to do something productive now, for like, even if it's just for an hour. I was finding that just spending that amount of time with Ria and the baby was just like, to get out and mow the lawn for an hour was just ecstasy. And this is saying nothing derogatory towards wife or baby, of course. I just mean, like, I'm an introvert, so I rely on that alone time to be able to reset my mind and just be happy, essentially. So I would come back from mowing the lawn and I'd be all chipper again. Yeah, it's a weird thing, but I'm just so lucky that I've got the best wife in the world, really, because she understands how weird I am. These are all the things that I said I would never whinge and complain about. Because it's a classic new parent thing, isn't it? Oh, I haven't got any time, and oh, I have to get up all night long. And I said I'd never do that, and here I am doing it. It's just like life is more extreme now, so the highs are higher and the lows are lower. Do you know what I mean? It's just everything's more intense.
Well, imagine being tired all the time adds to that.
It does, yeah. Yeah, it definitely does.
What do the cats think of him?
The cats have been brilliant. It's the complete opposite to what we expected. So we expected Hazel to be really skittish around him and really nervous. She's just become like a mother cat to him. She snuggles up to him. When he cries, she meows. Ria will often sing to the baby to try and settle him, and Hazel will just follow them round. It's been amazing to see how well she's taken to him, whereas Mickey's been the opposite. I thought he was going to be all over the baby, smothering him, but he's not really that interested. And he kind of came up and gave him a sniff when we brought him back from the hospital, and then just walked off and got on with his day. So, yeah, no, it's all good. Been able to watch more YouTube than I've ever been able to watch, because I'm sat on the sofa feeding the baby in the morning and doing all that stuff. And I can be up from any time from 4-ish onwards. And I can't get back to sleep once I'm awake, so I just stay up. And I'm just getting through YouTube videos like nothing. I mean, I think before we had the baby, I had 150 videos in my watch later list.
Wow.
I'm down to like 25 now. And I'm like, I'm going to run out of things to watch. I'm starting to panic.
Maybe this is a top parenting tip. If you want to pacify a baby, sit them in front of woodworking videos on YouTube. So my recommendation is something that actually I thought you would like and probably have seen. Step aside, Rubio. The game has changed. Hard Wax Oil Comparison, The Wood Whisperer.
Ah, yes, I did watch this, yes.
And I thought, that's right up your street. But it's a 30-minute long episode, but it's really interesting to see the super expensive finishes compared to relatively cheap finishes. And there's not a huge difference, I don't think.
It's so long ago now when I watched that video, but my only recollection of it was that some of the finishes aren't really available in the UK. So it's difficult to know, because I can't remember what they were now, the ones that he compared.
Well, there's definitely Rubio and Osmo, the two massive names.
Yes.
It's terrible. So this is why people go watch it, because I can't remember the conclusions.
No, I can't.
I can see how Rubio's good if you're in a professional production workshop and you need a finish to go on quickly, one coat and dry.
Yeah.
And then you can move it to one side and get on with the next thing. But for most of us hobbyists, we're happy to spend less money and wait a little longer for things to dry.
Well, you say that. I still hate finishes that take long times to cure. And that's purely because I feel like I can't get on with other things. Because I don't want to disturb that piece of work that's drying.
Yeah.
So I don't want to create loads of dust or anything like that. And it's like, it's sitting there tormenting me. I just want to get it out of the way. Maybe I should start bringing things into the house to dry, but I'm sure that would annoy my wife.
And even harder with cats and a baby, isn't it?
True, very true. Yeah.
But you've just reminded me, I'm going to have a shed now. So when I build my new workbench, I'll move the other one into the shed.
Yeah.
And then I could have that as a drying room.
Yeah, that would be cool.
All these finishes he's comparing, obviously chemical-based finishes with hardeners, as I'm really into my beeswax oil at the moment.
It's purely
natural, because I don't want, like, am I breathing in chemicals? Have I got chemicals on my hands? I'm just a hippie woodworker who wants natural finishes. Also, it's so much cheaper. It's easy to apply, but you do have to wait for it to dry. That is the only negative.
Yeah, I'm going through a similar journey in terms of not wanting chemicals around the house. You know, the wood finishes that I make? I'm going to wind that operation down now, because I don't want that stuff in the house, because it creates smells when I'm, you know, and I wear a respirator or whatever and tell the wife to stay out of the way of that space because it stinks. But having a baby is just, yeah, it's a bit of a no-go, so I'm going to stop all that stuff.
What about your food safe one? That's purely natural, isn't it?
The food safe one I've still got a decent batch of to sell, but once that goes, I'm going to stop that as well. Again, just because I don't really have the time, it doesn't bring in that much money, it just doesn't really make sense to do it anymore. And also, all the ingredients have gone up in price so much that it's kind of crushing any... Well, it's not crushing the profit, but it's... I don't want to put the price up of it, because it's already expensive enough for a tin of finish, so...
Yes.
Priced out of the market kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right. The materials have gone up, plus the tins, plus the packaging, plus the postage.
Yeah, if that was my sole business, I'd be devastated about it. But of course, it was just a little bit of a sideline. It's just not worth it anymore.
Yeah. Well, that's just business, isn't it? So what have you been watching when you've been going through your whole long watch later list?
So I wanted to call out Phil Wyatt Projects. I think I might have seen him in the comments section of my videos before, because his name rang a bell as soon as I saw one of his videos get recommended to me on YouTube. I just really like his resourcefulness in terms of the way that he uses things that are around, similarly to what I do. So it was just instantly relatable to me. He makes a lot of shorter videos, simple projects, just out of stuff that he's got laying around. And I just, that floats my boat. It's just right up my street. The first one I think I saw of his was building a fence using pallet wood. You know, at a distance, you would look at this fence and you'd have no idea it was made from pallet wood. Looked really good. He made some security bars for his workshop, similarly to what you did recently. But again, he just used salvaged bits of metal and he shaped them himself using a metal vise. Yeah, great channel. Phil Wyatt Projects.
Ah, definitely check that out.
Thank you for listening. You can find Keith on YouTube by searching for Rag N Bone Brown and me by searching for Badger Workshop. We have a Patreon page if you'd like to help support us in making future episodes of the podcast. Link to that in the show notes. And we have a Workshop Banter Instagram and Facebook page if you'd like to get in touch, which is @workshopbanter, all one word.